We're going to, this will be a part two to last Sunday's lesson on walking truth. Now, you should have your papers from last Sunday. The text scripture, as you see there, is 3 John 1, 3 through 4. Now, there's only one chapter in 3 John. Verses number 3 through 4. It says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." Verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Now, last week we highlighted in life there's only two paths. Matthew, we looked at, it says it was a straight and a narrow way, and then there's a wide, broad way. Few are going down the straight and the narrow, but many are going down the broad. Few are going to find life, but many are going to wind up in destruction. Now, 1 John chapter number 1, 5 through 10. Someone, let's go over there. 1 John chapter number 1, 5 through 10. Now, the writer is going to talk about the truth here when he makes reference to light. When he makes reference to light, L-I-G-H-T, okay? All right, 1 John 1, 5 through 10. It says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is what?"
Light.
Y'all see that?
Yeah.
God is light. Nobody else is light but God,
yeah.
Right? God is light. Everybody see that?
Yeah.
See it again. Let's look at it in. God is light, right? God is light. All right, now hold your finger there really quick, and let's go over to the book of John. John chapter number 9. And look at verse number 5. John chapter number 9 and start at verse number 5.
All right. As long as I am in the world.
Now this is Jesus talking. Everybody see this?
Yeah.
In John 9 and 5, this is Jesus talking. He says, "As long as I am in the world," what does he say? "I am the light of the world." Now, if you hold your finger there, go back over to First John 1 and 5.
Yeah.
1 John 1 and 5, it says that God is light.
Yeah.
Everybody see that? God is light. John 9 and 5, Jesus says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the what?"
Light.
So Jesus has got to be God. Right? Jesus has got to be God. He says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the what? The light of the world." And then over here in 1 John 1 and 5, it comes right out and says, "God is light." So Jesus is God, saints. Jesus is God. And in Jesus is no darkness. There is no darkness at all. Now, verse number 6 says, "If we say," now this is your opinion, this is your position, this is what you think. If you say you have fellowship with Jesus and you are yet walking in darkness, what does the Lord call you?
Alive.
He calls you a lie. You are a lie and you do not the truth. Now, that's not the focus of this morning's message. The focus of this morning's message or this lesson is to walk in what? Truth. So in order for us to walk in truth, we must first abandon darkness.
Yeah.
We've got to get rid of darkness. We got to get rid of the lie. Because if we do that, it does not result in the truth.
Yeah.
Now, verse number 7 is the gauge. Verse number 7 is the gauge. This is to let us know if what we are saying lines up with how we're living. Verse 7, if we walk in the light. Now, walk is an action word. Walk is an action word. The writer is telling you to look at your behaviors. Not what you say. Look at your behaviors. If we walk in light as he is in the light, then we have what? Fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from what? Now that is a privilege that is only given to those that are in the light. Now the sinner, a lot of times you may hear people quote this scripture that haven't been born again. Because they want the privilege of being in the light. What is the privilege of being in the light? The writer says, first of all, we have fellowship one with another. Right? The second part says, then we are the benefactors of the blood of Jesus. We're the benefactors of the blood of Jesus. Why do we need the blood? Because it cleanses us. Not from some sin, it cleanses us from all sin. That's why Romans 8:1 comes to light here in this scripture. Romans 8:1 is focused again, not on the behavior initially, but the position. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are what? In Christ Jesus. Position. Those that are in Christ Jesus. In John, it's talking about being in the light. If we are in Christ Jesus, we are in the light. And then it says, who walk not after the flesh. Right? That's the behavior. What do we call it? The performance. That's the performance. That's the behavior. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Lord's Spirit. Now the benefit again of being in Christ Jesus is we've got fellowship with the saints, and we can draw off of the blood to get rid of all of the wrong that may try to come out of us. Say, Elder Scudder, where's that wrong at? It's in you. Remember, I know that dwelleth in me. That is in my flesh is a no good thing. I'm not talking about the stuff that's going on out there. I'm talking about the stuff you get yourself into. You need the blood of Jesus to do what? Cleanse you. You need the blood of Jesus to clean all of that stuff out of you. And again, that's a privilege only afforded to those that are in Christ Jesus. You say, well, Elder Scudder, I'm not in Jesus. Then that's why you need to get born again. You need to focus on being born of both what? Water and spirit. The Lord says if you don't do that, you won't see what it's like for Jesus to rule you, and you'll never enter into what a kind of life where Jesus is ruling you. That's the true sense. Now look at verse number 8. Verse number 8 is talking to a person that has lost position. A person that has lost position. If we say that we have what? That's somebody in denial. That sounds like Adam and Eve in the beginning, right? And what did the Lord say? Adam, did you eat that fruit that I told you not to? Instead of him saying, yes, Lord, I ate it, he said, the woman, right? In other words, he never admitted it. Y'all understand? Go over to Genesis 3. You never see an admission from either Adam or Eve. They were in complete denial. Whether they blamed them or not, they still denied what they did. The Lord asked them a direct question. Look at chapter number 3 and verse number 10. Now remember, in chapter number 2, the man and the woman were naked and were not ashamed. But after they ate that fruit, sin brought shame on them. Sin allowed them to see life different from the way they saw it before they ate that fruit. Right? Now when they ate that fruit, the scripture says they realized their eyes were open and they knew that they were naked. Therefore they sewed fig leaves together to try to cover up their nakedness, cover up their shame. But that wasn't sufficient. You notice immediately after they ate that fruit, they heard the voice of Jesus. Now that's amazing. Let's work on that for a little bit. Before they ate that fruit, don't think that the voice of Jesus was silent. The voice of Jesus is always talking. The voice of Jesus is talking right now. Even while you sleep, the Lord is talking. Isn't that something? The Lord sees
spirits all around trying to attack the saints, and the Lord's word stands up against those spirits. His word is talking all the time, whether you realize it or not. That's why you ask the Lord, let the word be hid in my heart. Why? As it goes to and fro, I don't want the word to escape from out of my life. Why? Because I need that word. I'm depending on that word. That word is a light to my path. That's the scripture, saints. It's a light to my path. I don't know which way to go if I don't have the word. I need the Lord's word to speak when all men are silent. I still need Jesus to speak to me, right? Because I'm constantly under attack. Even when you think you're not under attack, you're under attack. That's the truth, saints. It is nothing but the Lord's word that stands up as a standard against every attack of Satan. That's the truth, saints. One writer, the gospel writer said, the Lord said, when they said, the Lord told them, he said, I prayed for you. In other words, his word was around you. The Lord's word is around us, saints. His prayer is around us. What prayer? His prayer of protection. That's the truth, saints. While you're walking through the shadow of the valley of death, the Lord's word is there to protect you from both danger seen and danger unseen, right? His word is there to protect us. That's why I love this passage right here in Genesis, where the writer lets us know when the Lord's word was yet going forth, because they had a change in nature. Because they had a change in nature. Now they weren't in agreement with the Lord's word. I don't care how much you talk to them. I don't care how much you try to rationalize with them. Because your life is not in agreement with the word. What do? You hide yourself. Huh? When the Lord speaks, you hide yourself. You do just like Adam and Eve did. If you look at that verse, go over there really quick. Yes.
And they said they heard the
voice of the Lord God.
Walking.
See what his word does? His word is actionable. His word ain't dead. That's why we try to encourage you. Don't fall into yourself when you come into this place of life. Get out of yourself. Get out of yourself. Let the Lord's word dominate you. Let the Lord's word speak into your dead body. He wants to speak life into us. Come on, no matter how you feel it, no matter what you're going through, all you need is Jesus to speak to you. I guarantee you, if he speaks, he will make things happen. Just as creation in the beginning, it was dark, it was void, but Jesus spoke. What did he say? Let there be light, and there was light, right? Scripture said God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That same word entered into our hearts. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Jesus called us out of darkness into a marvelous light, right? Into a marvelous light.
Yes, he did.
He called you what? Out of darkness. Nobody but the devil trying to keep you in it. But the Lord, sure enough, called you and I out of darkness. Did the devil want to let us go? No. Try to hold on to you. But that lets you see the power of the Lord's word. Power of the Lord's word to call you even when you're shackled up. Remember Lazarus? Lazarus was bound from head to toe. Head covered. He couldn't even move the grave cloth off of his face. But the Lord's word was so powerful, that which was dead hopped out of that grave. And what did the Lord say when he saw the dead come back to life? He said, loose him. That's you and I. When the Lord starts to speak, that's why when you're down there calling on Jesus, when you let the word enter into your heart, what word? The word that is nigh thee, even in your mouth. The word that we preach, which is a word of faith. What is that word of faith? Just believe in the name that you're calling on. Right and untold you, whosoever shall do what? Call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. That's why sometimes I start to glance over. You know, when I know Brother Robert, I'm looking for it. Because I know every now and then when the praise gets high, he starts saying, what's his name? And every now and then I start to glance over to see if he's going to let that name grab hold of him. Even in the midst of the praise service, there's power in the name. All I'm looking for is the Lord going to bless? Is he going to remove himself out the way? Because one of these days, the name is going to get hold of him. Name is going to get hold of him, and the thing that is trying to hold him captive, the Lord is going to say, loose him. Loose him. And then his tongue is going to be loose and begin to declare the marvelous works of Jesus. The Lord is going to take control of a member of his body that he can't even control himself, right? You can't even control that member yourself. Lord said, I'm going to take control of that member. And with that member, I'm going to declare my glory. You'll begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit of Jesus gives utterance. In other words, as he enables you to speak. But until that day, you got to hold on to that name. You got to have faith in that name. You got to let that name dominate your mouth. Everywhere your mind try to wander, every thought come, all you should see is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Every thought you think, it should just be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's when the name is dominating your mind. And when you get to that point, you get out of yourself and you let the Lord have his way, right? That's the truth. Get out of yourself and you let the Lord have his way. But that don't mean that the Lord ain't been speaking. He's been speaking long before you let him in. The Lord done told you, I stand at that door and knock. Now, he ain't standing at that door not saying nothing. He's calling you by your name. Calling you by your name. Trying to let you know, I want to come in. Jesus is standing right there. Standing there, even when you was drunk, when you was smoking, when you was shaking your behind, when you was out there doing all kind of things, it did not stop Jesus from being at your heart's door. What was he doing? Trying to trouble you. Trying to let you know you need more than sin. You need more than sin. Why? Because the wage of sin is death. You need more than sin, right? That devil try to blind your mind to think you're going to find satisfaction in something that sin can't give you. Sin will never be able to satisfy you. The scribe and utter none told you there is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. The wicked will always be like the troubled sea, whose waters cannot rest, whose life casts of nothing but mire and dirt, right? That's the life of the wicked, right? That's according to the scripture,
yes,
it's not my word. That's according to the scripture. That's why the Lord's word, when it comes into the life, into the mind of somebody that has done something that Jesus told them not to do, somebody that's in disagreement to the Lord's word, they get uncomfortable. Look at Adam and Eve. You, I, me. When I come in contact with a righteous God speaking his word to me, and my life is not lining up with that word, I get uncomfortable. I try to hide myself. But where will you go? Where can you go when the Lord's word is all around you? David said, if I make my bed in hell, the word is still there, right? I go try to hide in the cave. The Lord's word is still there. I'm going to go deep down in the water. The Lord's word is still there. As long as you see life, you see the Lord's word. Tell the scudder, the cemetery is full of dead people, but I still see life over there. How do you see life? I see grass. I see bugs. I see birds. Why, to let you know the Lord's word is still there. Huh? Dig them up. You find worms. Huh? You find grubs. Huh? The Lord's word is still there. David said, even though these earthworms eat up my body, even though your body is dead, the Lord's word is still alive. It's still there, right? Isn't that amazing? See, Adam and Eve thought they could hide from Jesus. Come on, look at that verse. That verse tell you Adam and Eve thought they could hide from Jesus. They said, we heard the voice, your voice, in the garden, in the, walking, in the cool of the day.
Adam and his wife hid
themselves. We hid ourselves.
From the presence of the Lord.
What were they trying to hide from?
From the presence of the Lord.
So his presence is in his word. Some of the people talk about, I want the presence of the Lord. All you need is the word. All you need to do is do what the word say do. When you do what the Lord say, he come right along with his word. He don't leave his word separate. He said, that's why he said in the book of John, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He come right with his word. Just like when God got in the flesh, the word got right in the flesh with him, right? The word was made flesh, right? That's what the scripture says. He got right with his word. He comes right with his word. All right, read a little bit more.
And it says, Adam, his wife, hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God.
Uh-huh.
Among the trees of the garden.
Look where they tried to hide. You trying to hide in your house. You trying to hide in your car. You trying to hide in the club, in the basement. But the Lord's word going to find you out. Adam and Eve didn't have no basements. So they used what they could. All they had was trees. But they still couldn't hide from Jesus. Look at, come on, don't take my word for it. Scripture said they hide, they hid in the trees. Amongst the trees in the garden. Keep going.
God called unto Adam and said unto him,
Adam,
where art
thou?
And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden.
That's why we can tell you emphatically that when the Lord calls, you are going to answer. See, many people reject the voice of Jesus. But then all of a sudden they hear it when they die. And they try their best to avoid doing what that word say do. That word say stop breathing. Then they fight with their body. Trying to make their body do something that it can't do. You can't do nothing without the word. Lord says in him we live. We move and we have our being, right? He's appointed our bounds. We cannot pass. Job says he's going to call. And we're going to do what? We ask Adam. He called out to Adam. Adam, where art thou?
And
Adam said, I heard your voice.
In the garden.
In the garden. I was what?
Afraid.
Now, isn't that something? That lets you know sin don't benefit you. Doing wrong don't help you. It only messes you up. Mess you up first and foremost with one another. Huh? Yeah, you can't even get along with the next human sitting beside you because of what? Sin. Then it messes you up with your relationship with Jesus. Huh? Notice, instead of him drawing close to Jesus, loving Jesus. Don't you want to love Jesus? Instead of Adam loving Jesus, Adam was afraid of Jesus. Sin messed him up, didn't he? He is talking about, I was afraid. Because I was what? Naked. And I did what? I hid myself. Next one. Who told you that you were naked? Somebody listening to somebody else's word. You listening to somebody else's word. That's why we can tell you it's dangerous. It's dangerous to listen to other voices outside of Jesus. That's what Galatians was talking about in chapter number 1. We went over that a couple of weeks ago. He said, I don't care who come to you with this other gospel. If it be an angel from heaven, don't you receive it let it be a curse. Huh? What did Adam and Eve do? They listened to Satan. The voice of Satan was in their mind. Huh? It got in there from the beginning, from the temptation. Huh? Come on, what did they do to the temptation? Sister Scudder said they entered into it. Huh? Temptation was talking to them, and they entered into it. In other words, they gave heed to it. Temptation started talking. Did God say that you can eat of every tree of the garden? Temptation said that. Huh? Temptation was embodied in that serpent. Jesus said, don't you think when you are tempted that it's me. I don't tempt nobody. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, right? So who was in that serpent? Antichrist, right? And let you know the devil speaks. But the question is, are you going to listen to him, right? When that devil started talking to them, they entered into it. In other words, they started engaging. Huh? Communicating. And the more he talked, the more they listened. Huh? Oh, yes, he did. What did he say? You shall not die. What did Jesus say? The day that you eat there, thou shalt. But the devil said, you shall not. See, that lets you know you can't fool with Antichrist, right? No good is going to come from it. And the woman started thinking. That lets you know, what did she get out? What did she let out of her mind? The Lord's word. And when the Lord's word came out, what came in? Huh? That devil that said, you shall not die. That, remember, what did Jesus tell her? The day that you eat there, thou shalt surely. That word surely means truly. I don't care what the devil say, this is truth. You are going to die. Saints, I'm trying to tell you, sometimes you're not going to like to hear truth, but still walk in it. Walk in it. Why? Because it's trying to save your soul, right? Walk in it, right? Do not abandon the truth. Do not let the truth escape out of your mind. Why? Because when you let it out, something else is going to come in. And nothing else is left but the devil himself, right? He was a murderer from the very beginning, right? Why? Because he abode not in the truth, right? No truth is in him. When he speaks a lie. Do y'all understand that, saints? When he speaks a lie, right? Yeah. Last thing you need to do in this day and time is have somebody lying to you. That's why we don't get into politics. Because there are people under the control of a demonic spirit. And the only thing they can speak is lies. Huh? All day long. Lies, lies, lies. Say, Elder Scudder, you believe whose side are you? I ain't on none of them side. Huh? Well, who you gonna vote? I gotta vote for somebody. But I'm trying to tell you, I'm still choosing a liar. That lets you know I'm not. I don't have great expectations for them. Huh? You say, oh, I got you. No, you don't have me. You don't have my best interest at heart. If you had my best interest at heart, you'd be in here praying with me. You'll be in here encouraging me to call Jesus. Why? Because that's the only saving name. There's no salvation in any other. There's no other name, huh? Under heaven. And Jesus' name is not on the ballot.
His name is not.
So that lets you know, can't nobody else deliver you but Jesus. You fool around all you want to. Get in these conversations with people trying to justify one liar over another, you ain't doing nothing but confusing yourself. You're setting yourself up for failure. That's the truth, saints. There's none righteous. That's scripture, isn't it? That's what the words say, right? Ain't none of them right. Huh? You that's the truth. You don't know Jesus. You ain't know no righteousness. How you going to speak the truth? Right. I'm waiting for the day when one of them just be truthful and honest. Is it going to get better? No. Another police officer is going to kill somebody else. Somebody else is going to rob another store. Somebody else is going to shoot someone else in the street. It's inevitable. Huh? But we just had a walk. We just had, I don't care what, how far we walk. I don't care how many people hold up a sign. We're still not dealing with the problem. The problem is sin. And the wage of sin is death. How are you going to do better and you don't get out of that nature? Huh? Islam ain't going to get you out of there. Catholicism is not going to get you out of there. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, none of them going to get you out of there. You got to come where Jesus is at. Jesus said, I put my name in the church. Huh? So before that, even when that preacher get up and say, I'm Jesus' preacher, I want to hear what you got to say. Huh? What do you have to say? God, God, God. Who is God? Who is the God that you're talking about? You know the man upstairs. Ain't nothing upstairs but tall. And I ain't heard no feet walking on my roof. Who is the man upstairs? Oh, you know. No, I don't know. That's why I asked you, who is he? Well, you know, he goes by many, many titles. Some call him well. Now, I want to know what he say about himself. God don't go by, he got titles, but he only got one name. Scripture say God have highly exalted him and given himself a name which is above every name, right? So why would I preach to you God? Huh? That ain't the greatest name. The greatest name is Jesus. That's how I can tell true holiness. Because even when that preacher stands up in that pulpit and he begins to declare what thus saith the Lord, he should be saying Jesus. His message should be so full of that name Jesus. Whether I go out for 5 minutes and come back in, I should still hear him talking about Jesus. Why? Because he's Jesus' preacher. And Jesus is going to exalt his name, right? See, from the rising of the sun, he's going to exalt that name. To the going down of the same, he's going to exalt that name, right? That's the truth, saints. That's why when people start saying, oh, he's an holiness preacher, he's an apostolic preacher, and they start talking God, 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 God. I say, he ain't got it yet. How you going to go around telling folk they ain't got nothing? Well, the proof is in the pudding. I'm listening to his message, and his message is missing something. What is it missing? It's missing the presence of the Lord. Because when the Lord speaks, his presence is with his word. Huh? Do y'all understand that? Adam recognized that. Adam recognized when Jesus spoke, his presence was right there with it, right? That's why here you come. Elder Scudder, there are very few. I'm trying to tell you, there are few preachers that are called by Jesus. There are many out there trying,
right?
But there are very few that are actually called.
Right.
Huh? Right. Why? Because you just, all you got to do is just turn it on. Turn it on and listen for a little while. And you say, just don't feel it.
No.
I just don't feel it. I know what I felt when I received the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And when I received the Holy Ghost, I was calling Jesus.
Right.
Those that had the Holy Ghost that were tarrying with me encouraged me to call Jesus. Yeah. Did I get tired? Yes. Did my mouth get tired? Yes. Did I stop? Yes. But they jumped right back in. Said, don't let him go. Keep on calling on his name. said, he said, no. Call Jesus. Open up your mouth and say his name. Why? Because the authority, the power is in the name. And here I am without the Holy Ghost, meaning I ain't got the presence of the Lord in me. It's on me, but I need it in me. Therefore, I needed to call his name. Why? Because what goes along with his name is his presence. And I need his presence to take control of my body, right? Need the presence of the Lord to fill the temple. Not the temple of this building, the temple of my flesh. I need the Shekinah glory of Jesus to fill this temple, right? And it's only coming when I respect his name, right? Does that make sense, guys? I just want to make sure it makes sense.
Yeah,
read a little bit more of that in Adam, about Adam.
And he says, I was naked, I hid myself.
Yes.
Who told you I was naked? I was naked. Has thou eaten of the tree?
Hold on. Now, I want you all to understand this. Don't think that this is a new spirit. Jesus was very direct. He asked him a direct question. What was the question he asked him?
That who told thee that thou was naked?
Yeah.
Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest eat, not eat?
If I'm repentant, I'm going to answer the question.
Right.
I ain't going to get no attitude. Wow. Huh? I'm going to answer the question. Why? Because I'm wrong.
Right.
Question was asked, did who?
Said, who told thee that thou was naked?
Uh-huh.
And said, hast thou eat of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?
Now let's see his response.
He said, the man said, the woman.
Hold up. Yeah. That lets you, he ain't ready yet. He's not ready to change yet.
No.
Why? Because he ain't willing to accept ownership.
Right.
Jesus know what Eve did.
Right.
You don't need to help Jesus.
Right.
Just worry about yourself.
Right.
What did you do wrong? Eve going to have her turn before the righteous judge, right? See, y'all, I'm trying to tell you, this is not a new spirit, saints. If Adam and Eve answered like that, that same thing is inside of you. Same spirit is inside of you that don't want to take personal accountability for what you have done. We love to be partners in crime. Nah, buddy. You got to stand before the righteous judge by yourself. And you got to give an account for what you've done in your body, right? Let's see. Keep going.
The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me
First of all, look at his attitude. Look at his attitude when he has that spirit of Antichrist in his mind. First of all, he didn't want to accept ownership. Then he had the audacity to blame Jesus. He said, you gave me that woman. Did y'all read it for yourselves? He said, the woman that you gave me. In other words, I didn't ask for her, right? The nerve of you. The Lord looked at you while you was by yourself and said, it's not good for you to be by yourself. Therefore, I'm going to give you a help meet, right? Now, don't get mad because you didn't do what you were supposed to do with your help meet. First of all, you got her out there wandering by herself when she was supposed to be with you, right? Then you let her assume a role that she wasn't supposed to have, telling you what to do. I'm just trying to lay it out. Does that make sense?
Yes, it is.
See how people turn on you real quick? See how he turned on you real quick? He was all with it. With Eve.
I mean, what you eat?
Then when the judge came, you the one gave it to me. I wouldn't be in this mess if you didn't do what you did. No accountability, right? But this is what it looked like when you walk in darkness and you abandon the light. According to 1 John, the scripture says, you lie. is that what 1 John 1 and 9 says? It says, you lie, right? Go back over to 1 John 1 and 9. I got to let y'all go, my time. 1 and 8, I'm sorry. And that's what Adam's attitude was. His whole attitude. It didn't say I was wrong.
No.
His whole attitude says I'm innocent. Yeah. Adam played the victim. Yeah. If you look at the scripture, he played the victim.
Yeah.
I'm in this state all because of what you created, Jesus. Right. Poor Eve ain't had nobody to blame. No. But an old serpent. Yeah. And left the serpent out in the cold.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have no purpose. Serpent didn't do no talking then. What was in it came out of it.
Yeah.
He didn't do no talking then, right? No talking then.
No.
Read a little bit more. What would y'all say? Well, it says we sin. And we do what? We lie to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is what?
Not in
us. Now, if it ain't in you, how you gonna walk in it?
Right.
Verse number 9.
If we confess our sins,
yes, he's faithful. Now that's to those that are what? In Christ Jesus. Thus, to those that are in walking in the light, right? We have the privilege of what? Confession.
Yeah.
Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
We have the privilege of confession. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to do what?
Forgive us of our sins.
And to do what?
Cleanse us.
Why? How can he cleanse us? Because we've got the cleansing agent.
Right.
How did I get the cleansing agent? When I went down in that water. I went down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. I was buried with him by baptism. And he told me when I come about that water, walk in the what? The newness of life. He didn't say I would not make mistakes, but he said in all of my doing, stay in the light. Stay in the light, right? Why? Because if you stay in the light, you're going to see stuff about yourself that you need to correct. Read a little bit more.
If we say that we have not sinned,
there you go.
That's
how you can tell this whole concept of once saved, always saved. This scripture lets you know that that's not true. Because according to verse number 10, it says, if we say that we have not sinned, that lets you know we've lost all connection with Jesus. Because his word is showing us something that we now are in disagreement with. His word is showing us an error. And what are we saying when we see that error? That's not it. Does everybody see? Now that looked like Adam after he transgressed. No presence of Jesus. No word of Jesus in him. Now you say, well, who in the world word is in Adam? Antichrist. And the Antichrist will lie to you all day long. Does everybody understand that? How you know the elder's cutter? Because that's all Antichrist know is lie. He don't know no truth. Antichrist don't know no truth. All he knows is a lie. Okay? Read a little bit more.
And it says that we say, make him a lie, his word is not in us.
His word is what? It's not in us. His word is not in us. Now jump over really quick. We already read the Galatians 1. But let's go over to 1 Kings chapter number 2, 1 through 4. 1 Kings chapter number 2, 1 through 4. I've got to get ready to let you all go.
1 through 4.
Yes.
1 Kings 2, 1-4.
Yes.
Verse 1-4 says, "Now the days of David,
yes,
knew not that he should not that he should die.
Yeah.
And he charged Solomon his son.
Yep.
Saying, I go the way of all the earth.
Yes.
Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man.
Yep.
And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his way."
Now that's something David struggled with. Right? And he's trying to give good advice to his son. All right?
Yes.
Keep going.
"They walk in his ways to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments,
yes,
and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper."
Now you see the conditions of being in a prosperous state. You've got to be willing to do what the Lord says do. According to the scripture, you have to walk in his ways, keep his statutes, keep his commandments, keep his judgments, keep his testimonies, and everything that is written in the word, right? And if you do that, the writer says you are going to do what? Prosper in all, not some, in all that you what?
Do it.
Yeah.
"And whithersoever thou turnest thyself,"
uh-huh,
"that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me."
Yes.
"Stay.
If thy children
take heed to their way,"
yes,
"to walk before me in truth,"
yes,
"with all their heart,"
huh,
"with all their
see how
heart,
you can't half step with this, saints?
All your heart."
All of your heart got to be into this. All of your soul got to be in
there
this.
"Shall not fail thee."
That, now, see, people don't understand. That's the reason why you fail and you backslide. It's because you abandon putting your all into serving Jesus. Does everybody understand? Now, I didn't say this. This is in the Lord's word. He says, when you do this with all of your heart and all of your soul, there shall not fail thee, right? Isn't that something? Now go over to Deuteronomy chapter number 13 and starting at verse number 1. I know I'm not going to be able to read all of this, but hopefully in your studies you should be able to get to it and see what the Lord is speaking to you. Yeah. Chapter number 13 and verse number 1 through 8.
1 reads 13 and 1. "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams,
uh-huh,
and give thee a sign or a wonder."
And this is something, isn't that amazing? This is why I'm trying to tell you, saints, you got to pay attention to what people say.
Amen.
Soon as they start talking, you better listen real good. See what they're saying. Make sure if it's not Jesus, it's not a little bit of Jesus. Either it's Jesus or it's the devil. It's either one or the other, right? Verse number 2.
"And the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee,
uh-huh,
saying, let us go after other gods."
Now, how do we know that this can't be Jesus? Because he's encouraging you to go after what?
Other gods.
And first of all, other gods didn't bring you out.
No.
Keep going.
"That other gods which thou hast not known,
huh,
and let us serve them."
What do these other gods want? Yeah, that's what the devil wants you to do. When you leave Jesus, the devil wants you to do what? Verse 3.
"Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet."
Now see, that lets you know everybody shouldn't be listened to. Just because they carry a Bible and can quote a couple of scriptures, don't mean you need to listen to them. Keep going.
"That prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God
proveth you."
Yeah. "To know."
Can you say that about your relationship with Jesus?
Yes.
He has already proven himself to who? Yes. To me. I don't have to wonder if he's the right way. I already know that where I am is right. I don't need you to validate that for me. I got all the validation I needed on my knees. Keep going.
"He said, your God proveth you to know whether
you love him
or your God,"
yes,
"with all your heart."
So you ask yourself, why do I go through these things? He is proving you.
Yeah.
You said you love him.
Thank
now
God.
He said, I'm going to really, yes, see whether you really love me.
Good.
I'm going to let a devil talk to you, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And I want to see what you do with that devil.
That's right.
I'm trying to tell you, most people don't pass that
they
test.
Sure don't.
Why? Because that devil come with him with a little bit of scripture.
Yeah.
Galatians said they give you another gospel. Different from the gospel that saved you. Does everybody understand that, saints? Read a little bit more.
You shall walk after the Lord your God.
That's what you need to be choosing.
And fear him.
Yes.
And keep his commandments.
And obey his voice.
Yeah. And you shall serve him.
Uh-huh. And cleave to Jesus, right? Yeah. That word cleave means grab hold to the Lord. Right. Don't let the Lord go, saints. Grab hold to the Lord. Yeah. Next verse.
And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death.
What do we need to do to him? In other words, silence him. Get him out your ear. Take away his right and his privilege to speak. Huh? That's what I say, Elder Scudder, you mean to tell me you can sit folk down in the church? Yes, I can. And I surely will sit you down. When you start talking like a different voice than what I speak. Huh? Does that make sense? You will sit down quick, fast, and in a hurry. You could talk from your seat, talking about how much the Lord called you to preach. You won't preach in here. You better go find your corner to declare whatever you say is coming out of you. Because we've already proven you. That's why you can't be moved by people saying, well, the Lord showed me. Oh, okay. The Lord done let you see. In verse number 1, he lets you see. You can't go by people that say they a prophet. Right. You can't go by people saying they had dreams.
Right.
You can't go by people saying, well, the Lord showed me a sign. You can't go by the Lord people saying, the Lord did something wonderful in my... Okay, let's see if this is Jesus. Right. Now, after they finish talking, see what they're trying to get you to do. According to verse number 2, when they're done, they want you to go after their God.
That's right.
Huh? Come, do y'all understand that? Yeah. They want you to go after their God.
That's right.
Huh? And what do? What go with them for what? And serve their God.
Right.
When their God didn't bring you out of your darkness.
Right.
Huh?
Yes. Right. Yes. Right.
Their God didn't bring you out. Read a little bit more of that verse. Wherever you left off there.
He said, shall be put to death.
Yes.
Because he has spoken to
turn you away. That's why you can't listen to everybody.
Right.
Keep going.
Which brought you out of the land of Egypt.
Jesus brought me out of my Egypt, saints.
Uh-huh.
Huh? Jesus. I got out of my Egypt by way of a man by the name of Elder Horace Johnson. Elder Horace Johnson preached unto me Jesus Christ and him crucified. There on 4814 Deanwood Park Drive. Huh? Deanwood, Maryland. That's where I got to learn about Jesus. I proved Jesus for myself. Why? Because I called Jesus. I tarried. I received the Holy Ghost. I'm the one stood up and said, the Lord have made a great change in me. The Lord quickened my mortal body. I didn't have to ask nobody, do I have it? I knew the Lord was in me. I made the choice to say, Jesus, you are God. I need to go down in the water in your name, Jesus. I got that right there, right? Now, why would I let a false dreamer come in and pull me away from what saved me? It's already been proven, right? Does everybody understand this?
Yes. Thank you.
It's already been proven.
Yes.
I don't need nobody to come give me a new revelation.
Right.
Nothing new saved me. The old is working real good. What I got in 1987 is working real good. Last I checked 2020, I'm still here. So obviously it must be good. It has kept me all of these many different years. As Sister Mitchell testifies, she said, I ain't never been faithful to nothing. But the Lord, when he put the Holy Ghost in, he kept me faithful to him. Now that's a testimony, isn't it?
That's something noteworthy. That's something noteworthy. That lets you know what you're in. It works.
Yes.
Huh? And you ain't gotta work. You ain't gotta ask nobody to try to get no. It should be in you. The confidence should be what? That's why Paul said, "Don't cast away therefore your confidence." Does that make sense, saints? I ain't gonna let nobody. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they know. I don't care how they read. I don't care how they break. You don't know what Jesus did for me. Jesus brought me out of my Egypt by many signs and wonders. He allowed me to walk through a Red Sea. When he brought you out of darkness, he brought you through a Red Sea, didn't he? Allowed you to cross through on dry ground, didn't he? Brought all of your enemies down. Washed their bodies up on the seashore. He said, let it be a memorial to who? To you. To let you know his power, right? Do not fear. Those that speak against Jesus, do not fear them. What should I do with them, Jesus? Put them to death, right? Put them to death. And I ain't talking about shoot them. I'm talking about silence them. Put them to death. Don't let them call you. Don't let them talk to you. Don't let them text you. Huh? Well, we talking about the same Jesus. No, we not. You got a different Jesus. You coming to me with a different gospel than what saved me. And the Lord done told me how to deal with you. He said, you are a curse. Now, again, I don't want nobody to take my word for it. You are reading this for yourself. Let's read a little bit more. I'm going to let you go because my time.
He redeemed you out of the house of bondage.
Yes.
To thrust thee out of the way which the Lord our God commanded thee to walk in.
Yes.
So shalt thou put the evil away
from
the midst of thee.
Keep going.
If thy brother.
I want y'all to highlight this in your book. Because this is going to get real personal. This is going to get real personal. Jesus is going to get real deep with you right here. He's going to say, if your what? If your brother, your son,
or thy son,
or
thy daughter, or thy wife, of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul,
entice you secretly. And that's a little whisperer, right? That's how you know the devil. They won't do it on an open floor. But they'll catch you when you by yourself. And do it what? Secretly. Now, y'all would think I wrote this. Because we're living during this day and time, aren't we? But that's why I tell you, ain't nothing new up under the sun. Jesus done picked out these demons before you even got here. Tell you, the Lord gave you the demonic resume right here. Now, I advise you, don't you listen to them. It says, what is it? They entice thee. What that devil going to say to you? Let us go and serve what? Jesus.
Which thou hast not known, thou nor thy father, namely of the gods of the people which are around
thee. Hold up. Outside people. Huh? Man, where are we at?
Inside.
Now, y'all learning about Jesus, where?
Inside.
So somebody going to come and tell you about a God out there.
Right.
First of all, they not in here.
Right.
And their God ain't in here.
Right.
Is that what that verse says?
Yes.
Namely, of the gods of the people which are what? Around
you. Nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even unto the other.
That's why I told you all a couple of weeks ago, that's that different Jesus. They preaching Jesus, but it's a different Jesus.
Yeah.
I told you all, if we had a brother and sister that was in the church, listen, she testified she received the Holy Ghost. She testified, she said, I received the Holy Ghost. And received the Holy Ghost and glad about Jesus, serving the Lord. Then all of a sudden, she want to go someplace else. They apostolic just like you all are. Okay. They preach Jesus God just like you. They baptize in Jesus' name just like you. Okay. Well, they doing all that, why you leave here then? Well, I just don't feel the same no more. Okay. Well, okay. Well, they have tarrying services just like we have it. Tuesdays, Fridays. No, they don't have tarrying services like that. But when do y'all tarry? By appointment. That's a different Jesus, isn't it? You don't know no Jesus like that. You don't know no Jesus like that. You're not familiar with that kind of Jesus. But they got the Holy Ghost. I don't know. I'm just trying to tell you, you are not familiar with that kind of Jesus. The Jesus you knew had you in here praying Tuesdays and Fridays. That's your familiar Jesus, right? You done disassociated yourself to go serve another Jesus outside of the Jesus that saved you. Is that the scripture? How'd you get out there? I guarantee you, somebody got into your ear secretly. Now, I know you're not going to be honest and tell me the truth. Why? Because I'm not expecting you to be honest with me. First of all, because you're in darkness. And first of all, you lying to who? Yourself. How you going to tell me? I ain't saying nothing. Your life is already spoken. Your life done told all that I need to know about you. Your actions are speaking. Right? Loud and clear. Very precise. Isn't that something? I'm gonna let y'all go because I don't. Let's read verse number 8 really quick. Don't agree with him. In other words, don't agree with him. Even if he say something right, don't do what? Don't, because when you agree with that devil think he got a head up on you. Don't agree with him. Don't listen to him. Neither give him our pity.
Neither shall thou
spare
him. Neither shall
thou kill him. What did the Lord say? Next verse say, you need to kill that fellow.
Thy hand shall be first upon to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people.
That's something to think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now you all can read the rest of this, and it's going to support everything that I'm saying. Then after you all read that in Deuteronomy, then we're going to move into the church world. That's what the rest of these verses down here, these rest of these sections talking about. What should I do with a brother or a sister that leaves the family of Jesus? Now, we already know if Deuteronomy talking like this, you can imagine what the other verses are going to say. Now, I'm trying to tell you, it don't sound like it's going to seem fair. But I'm trying to tell you, what is the Lord trying to do to me? He's trying to protect me. He's trying to protect me from a devil that don't like me. That devil is trying to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy me. Now the Lord said, now go back over to verse number 8. Before we even go deal with the church piece, see what the Lord say about this. Verse number 8 says what? Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thy eye pity him. Right? Don't you feel sorry for them? Because they're going to bring a sad story to you. Don't you feel sorry for them? Well, Scott, why are we doing all that? Because they need to repent. And they're not going to do it until they see the errors of their ways. One thing you learn about that prodigal son, when he's realized the error of his way, then he came back home. Home did not come to him. He came back, right? The father did not send for him. Do y'all understand that? People are always trying to love. Well, if you loved me, you would have I loved you enough to give you the truth. You did not want to receive the truth. You say, I don't want none of this. I'm leaving. I opened up the door for you, say, I wished you well. Huh? But while I was out there, all this stuff was happening. You didn't even look out for me. I told you, the wage of sin is death. Right. You wanted to sin, right? Didn't you want me to be in agreement with I should have treated you the way that you wanted to be treated? What about Jesus?
Right.
What about how you treated Jesus?
That's
Isn't he the one that died for you? And you just did what? Abandoned him. You walked right away from the Lord. You ain't no different than Judas. What did the Lord say about Judas? You've allowed the devil to fill your heart. The unfortunate thing about Judas, when he looked for repentance, he could not find it. Judas's avenue out wasn't Jesus. It was killing himself. And that really was not the way, right? See, the Lord got a way for you to do it. But when you got this whole thing, I'm going to do it my way, to write it untold. There is a way that seems right unto the man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? That. All right? Elder Scott is done. I'm not going to try your patience any longer. But I just wanted to get these things across to you, saints. Just some things concerning how we walk. How we walk. Walk in truth. Don't abandon truth. Truth is what saved you. And stand fast in that. Stand fast in that. Be fully persuaded in that. Don't let anybody shake you. As the writer done told you, cleave on to it. Hold on to truth. Don't abandon it. Say, well, what is truth? John says it in John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is what? Truth. Lord done told you in the book of Psalms, hide the word where? In your heart. That you may not do what? Sinning. So you let you see where the truth needs to be at. The truth needs to be in you, saints. It needs to be in you. If it's in you, you can walk in it. If it's not in you, if it's not truth, what's the opposite of truth? Do you want to get that out of you? Right? That's what repentance means. Repentance means, Jesus, get all of that lie out of me. That tendency to lie. That motivation to lie. Take all of that stuff out of me, Jesus, so that I can have the truth. Doing what? Resting in me, abiding in me, leading and guiding me. All right? Trust you got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart.